Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse has swung into theaters and it is doing spectacular. Yes! So today I'm going to do a tier ranking of all the Spider-Man movies as well as all the Spider-Man adjacent films. So let's talk about it. You can make your own tier ranking at the link down below in the description. If you create one, take a picture of it, share it on your Instagram stories or over on Twitter and tag me. I will repost some of your tier rankings. I'll have my links for social media down below in the description. Instagram DMs are the best way to get a hold of me. I'm very active in my DMs. I respond to almost everyone. So check that out at the link down below in the description. And let's get started. And we're going to go through these in chronological order. So we're starting with Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 2002. And we'll kick things off on a great note. I'm putting this one right up in S tier. I love origin stories. I love Spider-Man. I love Sam Raimi. And Spider-Man has one of the best origin stories. So when you put all those ingredients together, you have a movie that is like designed for me personally. And it's a great rendition where you both get Peter Parker's origin story turning into Spider-Man, a classic true version of the comic book origin story.
Remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
But you also get a villain origin story with Green Goblin. You spend a lot of time with all of these characters, so you actually care about the villain, the choices he makes, his descent into madness. Danny Elfman's score here is fantastic. The visual effects were actually quite groundbreaking, and for the first time ever, we're able to like swing through a massive city at incredible speed, and it looked realistic. But honestly, some of the reason this movie will always be S tier for me is that it's just a very important film for me. It came out just a week or two after my dad died. And in kind of one of the worst months of my life, one of the worst time periods of my life, my family, even my grandmother, loaded up in the car and we went to go see the new Spider-Man movie. And for a little bit, I could escape the pain of life and just have a great time at the movies. And that's what movies have meant so much to me. And this is one of the great examples in my life of a movie being exactly what I needed at a painful moment in my life. But I also just think it's a great film in general with just the right amount of Sam Raimi quirkiness in there to be fantastic. And it's got a killer track from Chad Kroeger of Nickelback. And they say that a hero can save us. Spider-Man 2. With the origin story out of the way, this one can dive deep into the struggle of being Spider-Man. That balance between the day-to-day life of Peter Parker having a job, trying to have friends, trying to get a girl, and being Spider-Man. And it just dives deep into that and has this very personal, relatable story while also being something totally fantastic, spectacular, and amazing. Add to that, we get another great villain in Doc Ock. I think the subway train car chase in this movie is one of the best action sequences in a comic book movie ever. I love the treatment of New York City as almost a character in and of itself that Spider-Man's trying to save, and then they have his back once he's able to save them.
It's all right.
We won't tell nobody.
I love, love, love the way this movie, as well as some of the other Spider-Man movies, treat New York City and the community there in that fashion. And also just love the moment and the way they decide to reveal that Peter Parker is Spider-Man to MJ in this film. I think it's done phenomenally. But for me, this one is only in the great category. It is absolutely great, but it's not S tier for me. I've just never been into the plotline where he loses his powers because he's bummed out. I've seen the movie a zillion times. It's great. I thoroughly enjoy it, but that's an element that I just don't resonate with. I don't like taking the story in that direction with the way that it plays out and even the execution of it. It's not for me. That holds it back from that S tier. But I still love this film, and I love when Dashboard Confessional kicks in. Vindicated, I am selfish, I am wrong. Coming off back-to-back massive wins with Spider-Man 1 and 2, of course they wanted to get a third film out as quick as they could. But this time, everyone wasn't quite in agreement with everyone as to the best way to move forward. When you have movies that are so loved critically by fans at the box office, people start to have lots of strong opinions on how do you kind of keep that going. And while this film still made $1 billion, its reputation is not the best. It's widely regarded as the weakest of the Raimi films and one of the worst Spider-Man films in general. And a big part of that is that the producer really wanted Venom in the film. And Sam Raimi openly has stated he doesn't like Venom and he doesn't understand Venom. And because of that, the movie's kind of at odds with itself of everyone kind of different ideas of what they wanted to do. So Sam Raimi threw everything he wanted in there. Producers got what they wanted with Venom. And you just kind of get a film with too many plot lines that are all underdeveloped where it's retconning things. And it's frustrating because I think it's still got a little bit of spark in there. There's a few ideas that I really like. The idea of having Harry have this full journey from friend to villain to hero. I think there's some very profound things in that. But overall, I think you can just feel them a little bit drained of creativity, trying to force what came naturally before. And there's just some obviously bad ideas in this film.
And I did this. We don't really talk about this.
A very lackluster version of Symbiote Suit Spider-Man as well as Venom. So a movie that for me, I still think it's fun, but it's very flawed. I don't think it's a disaster. I think this is an entirely watchable film, but it's very flawed. That'll bring us to the Webb Garfield era with The Amazing Spider-Man. And this to me is like 2/3 of a great Spider-Man movie and 1/3 rehash without finding a way to justify its own existence. And that's kind of a tricky place to be because I in no way, shape, or form think this is a bad movie. I think that this is a good movie that has a lot of things that I actually love about it. I think Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone run circles around Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst when it comes to just on-screen chemistry and acting chops. And that is not a criticism of Tobey and Kirsten Dunst. I love them too. That is 100% just a wow. Garfield and Stone are excellent. They are so good on screen together. And of course, the action is great. There's some nice spectacle in here. We get another fantastic Spider-Man score. The thing that it runs into is that they're retelling the origin story just 10 years after the Raimi film. And so they're desperately trying to find a new angle, a new tone. And it was just too soon.
But your father lived by a philosophy, a principle, really. He believed that if you could do good things for other people, you had a moral obligation to do those things.
Likewise, they add kind of this conspiracy aspect when it comes to his parents of like, what were they really up to? What's the true story of Spider-Man's origin? But it's asking and answering questions that no one is interested in. Lizard, I think, is good enough. Gets a little bit cartoony at the end with his kind of scheme and what he's up to. But I thought he was fine up until that point in time. So for me, I think this one is distinctly good, but generic. That I love a bunch of aspects of this film, but it was just too soon to redo the origin story. That'll bring us to The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Another incredibly frustrating film. Because once again, any scene with Andrew Garfield, Emma Stone, fantastic. They're just great together, incredibly watchable and compelling. I'd actually love it if Mark Webb did a movie with the two of them that wasn't attached to Spider-Man at all, but just kind of like some sort of dramedy with the two of them. I think that would be awesome. Everything else here is overstuffed, overcrowded, and underdeveloped. It's a movie that is infamous for having been dramatically reworked in the editing room, where the studio was mandating all these plot points to set up a Sinister Six movie that they wanted to make. And then they went in and they had Felicity Jones was supposed to be a big part of the movie, radically cut in the editing. Then you had Shailene Woodley cast as MJ. We have set photos of her with Andrew Garfield cut entirely out of the film. There's all these scenes that are in the trailer plot lines that are implied by the trailer that aren't in the movie at all or only mildly hinted at. And the movie's already pretty long. And so a film that they started filming before they knew the movie that they wanted to make, and it just kind of turned into a mess because of it. And Mark Webb had the movie he wanted to make, and every producer had the movie that each of them wanted to make. And the tones don't even match, where you've got like very corny Electro whose teeth are being corrected by falling into a vat full of eels. And then this super dramatic death of Gwen Stacy, all kind of in the same room, in the same film. So I got to put this one very far at the end of fun but flawed. I still think it's watchable. I still think there's a lot to enjoy about this film. Not a total disaster because the individual scenes work, but it is all over the place. That'll bring us to the MCU era with Spider-Man Homecoming. And pretty clearly, they learned their lessons after The Amazing Spider-Man had good things in there, but in general, people were like, it just feels like we're doing the same thing again. And so they wisely decided to try and find that new angle to take Spider-Man. And they decided to just lean hard into the fact Peter Parker is a high schooler. That's not just the start of the movie. That's not just a couple scenes at the beginning. That is central to this film. He is a high schooler that's a superhero. And then the other thing they did, they cut a deal with Disney and they put it in the MCU. So it's a high school superhero in a world of other superheroes where he wants to be a part of the team. And that just brings so much fresh, new energy to this franchise that had five previous movies in the previous 15 years, and they found something brand new to bring the whole thing to life. And I think it is just delightful. I'm going to put this one in the great category. It's not really trying to even be S tier. It's just trying to have a good time with Spider-Man. Add to that, I think you get a great villain with the Vulture, who doesn't have this wild scheme to blow up the city. He's just a working class guy that's trying to make ends meet and has gone down very far down a dark, dark path to make all of that happen, and they even find a way to tie that in with the dance at the end of the film and have a nice twist reveal. So this is just a charming, nice, new take on Spider-Man that absolutely works for me. Then we have Venom, our first Spider-Man adjacent film, and I'll cut right to the chase. This one is fun, but flawed. When it's doing Eddie and Venom, this weird bromance, I'm on board with it. Maybe it's low-hanging fruit. It's very silly. It's very goofy. But it's also very entertaining. I just have a lot of fun with their dynamic, what they do with it, and that it's just so unassuming. It's not in any way pretentious, trying to make a statement about anything. It's just trying to have a wild, wacky, good time with, you know, Venom eating people's heads.
Hey, Eddie.
Well, that said, it takes a while to get there. I mean, they come up with a way too convoluted set of things that have to take place before Eddie and Venom start doing their thing. I mean, we've got Eddie's job history and getting fired and his love life and an investigation. There's like a time jump in there. There's a plane crash where a symbiote takes 6 months to get to San Francisco. Just it takes a while to get going. So I think it's very flawed. But once it kind of gets going, I have a good time with it. Also, to throw just like a random story in here, something that's kind of fun for me. I rewatched this movie just a couple weeks back when it was on TV. And Jenny Slate is in this movie. And I joined the Hollywood Critics Association earlier this year and got to go to the Hollywood Critics Association award show where Jenny Slate was there. And she produced a movie that won a bunch of awards. So every time she was called up on stage to win this award, she'd have to walk back to her seat. And every time she walked back to her seat, she'd put her hand on my left shoulder and go, I'm so sorry about this. I'm so sorry. Walk by me. And I'd go, that's Jenny Slate. And so I was rewatching the movie. I was like, oh, this is so weird. Where like, that she's apologized to me like 10 times this year. Anyway, that's a total rabbit trail, but I just had to mention it because I've had a fun year thus far. And that'll bring us to our first animated film, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And this is a great animated film. It's a great Spider-Man story. It's one of the most comic booky movies of all time. So let's get right to it. This one goes in the S tier. On the animation front, they just found this look and style that feels like a comic book brought to life, with the lower frame rate, the use of onomatopoeia words appearing on the screen, the way that it frames certain things, the way that it transitions, does the montage with comic frames that are in motion, and the way it zooms between all of them. It feels like a comic book brought to life in a way that you can really only do with animation. And then as a Spider-Man story, they found a way to introduce a bunch of new Spider-Men and Spider-Women and Spider-Pigs, Spider-Animals, Spider-Robots, all of the different things.
Is he in black and white?
Where's that wind coming from? We're in a basement.
Wherever I go, the wind follows.
In a way that just felt like a celebration of the Spider-Man lore. It wasn't trying to put anything down, replace it, deconstruct it. It was this exploration of it, where we get Miles, we get Spider-Gwen, but we also get Peter B. Parker, an aging, flawed version that's working through some stuff.
How do I know I'm not gonna mess it up again? You won't.
Right. It's a leap of faith.
It was just so pleasant. It was so charming. It's funny. It has a heart. It has all the beats that you want from a Spider-Man movie, but it feels unlike anything we've ever seen before. So absolutely, it is S tier. This is a way to introduce new versions of characters and expand the lore in a way that doesn't feel like you're rejecting that which came before. I think Disney could learn a lot from this movie. I love it. We rewatch it in my house all the time. Back to the MCU, Spider-Man Far From Home. And speaking of movies that I absolutely love, this is not one of them. I think that this movie is superficially very fun, but I gotta put it in the fun but flawed category.
Why would you say something so controversial yet so brave?
Superficially speaking, the cast is charming, it's filled with humor, Jake Gyllenhaal is an absolute blast as Mysterio. The Mysterio sequences themselves look very, very cool. But I don't think this movie works on a story level at all, and there's just some bad ideas thrown in here in general. Right off the bat, the setup for the movie is that Tony Stark left his military-grade weapon to a high schooler who's been dead for 5 years without any instructions.
That's a weird story.
It doesn't make any sense. From there, our villain's motivation is scorn for Tony Stark, which is the motivation in 7 different MCU films.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
And then there's some just stuff that it's just not good ideas. There's a sequence in this movie where underage Peter Parker is put into a closed room with a grown woman who tells him to take off his clothes while she watches.
Take off your clothes.
Okay.
Just take this same exact scene. Let's swap it a little bit. Nick Fury tells an underage MJ to take off her clothes while he's watching.
No, don't like that.
Doesn't play right. Doesn't work. But it also doesn't play right. It doesn't work. And it's not appropriate to have a grown woman saying the same thing to a high school boy. So a movie that it has some entertainment value, but I think it's absolutely fun, but way flawed. Back to our adjacent films, Venom, Let There Be Carnage. I thought this one was a little bit better than the first Venom. And the big reason for that is that Eddie and Venom are doing their bromance from the very beginning. It plays like a rom-com, but is a comic book action movie. Their whole dynamic, you get it for the entire runtime of the film. It's very silly. It's corny. It's goofy, but it's trying to be silly, corny, and goofy. That's what you're up signing up for when you go into this movie. That wacky, weird dynamic.
I will let you eat everybody.
Promise.
I promise.
Oh, yeah.
Then, of of course, Carnage is a great villain for Venom to face. Woody Harrelson is a fun actor. So there's a lot of things that come out of that that are a ton of fun to watch. But I still think you got to go fun but flawed. I think it's a little bit better, a little bit more fun than the first Venom because you get Venom, Eddie, Carnage throughout the entire runtime.
That costume is amazing!
Thank you.
But it's another one where it just feels like they chopped this movie to pieces in the editing bay, or at least they made the decision, let's just make this thing move really fast. We don't ever want it to drag, and so they just cut everything to move as fast as possible. And I think the movie would have been better if it had a little bit more breathing room. But this is a movie where very obviously they cut it to be as short as possible to just make it this quick roller coaster ride. I think it hurt the film. And then I think with Carnage, why would you kill him off? Why would you do that? Like, this is a great villain. We want to see more of him. And I think they played that out too quick. And back to the MCU, Spider-Man No Way Home. And this movie for me is just a fantastic experience for Spider-Man fans, where they came up with a way to respectfully and in a satisfying manner pull Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and their villains all into a movie with Tom Holland, and it worked. It was just as fun and joy-inducing as you'd hope for. And the thing you gotta really appreciate here is that they didn't spoil it in the marketing. They actually saved their biggest promotional asset to be a surprise in the theater. And it was so good. It was so fun that it put a huge grin on my face. My audience was just clapping, cheering the entire thing.
It was so crazy in there. Like, literally, like, everyone was standing up and screaming.
I know, my voice is gone. I was clapping, screaming.
There's a bunch of parts where people are like, whoa!
But the actual setup and plot for the movie is pretty pedestrian. I was saying that before the movie came out, that this setup, the idea that we're going to have a spell so that kids can get into college and then they don't stop to talk about parameters and therefore it goes wrong.
Well, that's just lazy writing.
That's just not terribly compelling. It's not intriguing, interesting. It's just like, oops, we forgot to talk. Now we're doing this big epic film that's so exciting. I wish they'd had a better setup that was more interesting, compelling, better motivation for the actions, the choices that were made, not just, oops, I forgot to ask about parameters. So you put all that together, I think it is a fantastic experience. It's a less than great actual story. Got to put it in the great category. Fantastic Spider-Man experience. A little bit more uneven as a film and even as a Spider-Man film. Because on that level, it finds a subversive way to complete Tom Holland's Spider-Man origin story. Very clever, very interesting, very fun. But our setup, some of the other stuff in here.
Brilliant, but lazy.
We got one more adjacent film, Morbius. So they take a B-level Spider-Man villain, remove Spider-Man, make him a hero. What could possibly go wrong? Well, just about everything, because this movie is a disaster. It easily goes in the bottom category, and it's even tough to understand how this thing went so wrong, because it has a very simplistic plot. It feels like a throwback to an earlier, less sophisticated era of comic book movies. But even as a more simplistic movie, it can't stick to a tone. It can't focus in on anything. It feels like a movie that was just killed by committees and compromise, where too many people were tinkering with it. Too many people had ideas. There were too many cooks in the kitchen. Felt like the director wanted to make like a character-based film. Another producer just wanted to make a quick-moving action movie. And then another producer wanted to make a Spider-Man setup movie. And each one of them kept taking turns, cutting scenes, adding scenes in, reworking it, reshooting it. And this went on for years because it was delayed because of COVID. And when it was finally released, it was just this jumbled mess of a film that was choppy. It had no flow. It was inconsistent.
This is a mess. None of these storylines make any sense.
And nothing really about the film worked at all. The big win here, all of the memes. And finally, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. And this movie is a triumph on pretty much every single level. Everything that I loved and praised Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse for, this does all of that, but it takes it to this whole other level. As an animated film, it just feels like they tried to think of what is every unique thing that you can do with animation. Not just with the style of animation, but with the storytelling. How can you communicate emotion and what people are thinking in unique and distinct ways in animation that you can't do in any other form of storytelling? And it goes for it. And then as a Spider-Man story, of course, there's like the superficially, it's great to have all the cameos, the Easter eggs, things like that. But beyond that, it's a story about the lore and what makes Spider-Man special, unique, stand out, that makes us love all of the different spider people, whatever that is, all of those canon events that tie us to him, that have drawn out big emotions. And it dives into all of that and makes that the central narrative. But then it's a movie just filled with emotion. It has this melancholy, somber tone from beginning to end, focusing in on that loneliness of the spider people. And that loneliness that so many of us feel. And it just dives into that. But it still is lighthearted. It makes us laugh. But it also has betrayal from friends, from family. It has victory. Characters make sacrifices. It has this full range of emotions that you get to experience. There's so many great Easter eggs that are so satisfying. A lot of people are calling it a masterpiece, best comic book movie of all time, best Spider-Man movie of all time, one of the best movies of all time. I don't know that I can quite go that far just yet because it's such a hard cliffhanger where it tells a complete, gives a complete arc to Gwen, but on a plot level, it feels like you're watching the movie. We're about to go into the third act and then somebody changes the channel. You're like, what? What just happened? To be continued. I got to wait 10 months? What's going on here? But anyway, you put it. Because of its achievements in animation, celebration of the Spider-Man lore, the emotions that it brought out, how witty and clever even the script was, it's still going in that S tier. Perhaps when we get beyond the Spider-Verse, this one might even move up higher up on the list. It is that good. It is that cool. Anyway, that is my tier ranking of the Spider-Man movies. Remember, you can use that link down below in the description to go make your own tier list. If you share it on Instagram stories or on Twitter and tag me, I will share some of your tier rankings. Instagram is the best place to find me on the internet if you want to ask me questions in my DMs. I got more Spider-Man content. I've reviewed all the movies. I've ranked the villains, the final battle, all of that fun stuff. I've talked about Spider-Man every which way possible. Check out those playlists right over there. Thank you so much for watching. Keep talking movies and TV too much. Bye-bye.